Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my friends. I'm Eric Olson. It is time once again for America's Most Haunted. Very, very excited about tonight's show. We have the guys. We have Jonathan. And I just got to the computer. I'll tell you guys what's been going on. This has been a crazy freaking evening. We have Jonathan and Benny from Deep South Paranormal, the brand new show on Sci-Fi. I just watched the debut episode. I literally just got off, and it was excellent. I enjoyed it very much. I love the personalities of the team. I like what they're doing. Really good, solid work. The production of the show is excellent, and I'm very excited to talk to the guys. Are you on with us?
Hey, what's going on, Eric?
Hi there. As you saw, I literally got on the phone here, like, 10 seconds before the show started.
I'm not going to lie, man. I was sitting there going, okay, it's 9 o'clock. Have I gotten the wrong phone number? What's going on now?
No, you guys were perfect. And you guys are perfect. It was all about me. I was having, because this is a wonderful respite from real life. This show is such a nice break. And I believe we just brought in the world-famous haunted housewife, all right, my co-host, Teresa Argy. Are you there, Teresa?
I'm here. Hi, Eric. Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Teresa. Doing good tonight.
Can't wait to talk to you.
For people who have not seen the show yet, which, again, it just debuted last Wednesday at 10, and we'll be on tomorrow, of course, at 10 with episode number 2. It's Deep South Paranormal on Sci-Fi. And on the show, we follow a Bayou-based investigative team on a mission, taking on anything from swamp apparitions to haunted plantation houses and southern voodoo legends. I love all that. These larger-than-life characters become deadly serious when it comes to their investigations, which deal not only with the hazards of paranormal phenomenon, but with swampy natural dangers like gators, snakes, spiders, wild hogs, and skeeters. And once again, I want to welcome Jonathan and Benny. Let me give a little bit of info on you guys, too. Jonathan is from Huntsville, and he lives on the same land that his great-grandparents first owned. That is cool. And I guess kind of the leader of the team. He's the man with the plan. He's the guy with the college degree. Way to go. And is applying science and inventive tactics. Benny, I noticed they're calling the Joker, and he's an electronics technician for the government and joined the team after 8 years in the U.S. Army National Guard and 2 separate tours of duty. So once again, sorry guys for the discombobulation here, but welcome to the show. Very excited about it and looking forward to speaking with you. Why don't you just give us a little bit of background just from your own perspective on how the group came together, and then I'm always interested in how the shows come together. That was super cool.
Yeah, it's been phenomenal. I mean, it's been a dream so far. I mean, we're just normal guys, man. We work our jobs during the week. You know, we do the paranormal we just have a love for the paranormal and just do this stuff on the weekend as a hobby. We've been doing it for 5, 6, 7 years. It's kind of different of us been doing it different lengths of time, but. But you know, mainly we knew of Randy. We knew of Randy and Kevin and those guys. They in a group called Down South Paranormal out of New Orleans, and we had heard about them before and knew about them. And me and Benny and Keith was in a separate group up here in Huntsville. It was called DOA Paranormal, which we still have our groups and we still have our separate groups and everything. And basically, the South is a tight knit community, and especially the paranormal community is very, I think, tight knit all the way across the U.S. I mean, anytime we've ever needed any type of history on a place, maybe we were going that we had knew nothing about. You know, you can always reach out to the paranormal community, and they've never let us down yet. And that's kind of how we kind of got hooked up with Randy and those guys. We reached out and wanted us was heading down south and just liked their name, liked their logos, and hey, let's check these guys out and ask them a few questions. And before you know it, we kind of started talking, became friends, and then the kind of led, one thing led to another, and then, hey, when they wanted a show about the South and wanted a show about paranormal investigators in the South, I don't think a lot of people realize how different ghost hunters, or not really ghost hunters, just Southerners in general in Louisiana is so different than Southerners in Alabama, and Southerners in Florida is different than Southerners. You know, everybody kind of has their own personality and their own style and stuff. So that's kind of how we just, I think you take a Cajun mix and a Southern with a little redneck flair mix and put them together. I mean, it's like gasoline and fire. You know, it just gets awful.
That's actually a great point. You know, people who haven't spent much time in the South, or especially who haven't traveled around the South, kind of have this image, this perception of this kind of monolithic thing where everyone. I mean, your accents are different. I don't mean your. I mean any accent is different. I mean, not just even state to state, but, you know, county to county. I mean, people are just as different and just as varied in the South as anywhere else. So, you know, that makes perfect sense. You got the French. You got much more of the French input, and that, you know, kind of is I think, the key difference with the whole, you know, New Orleans or Louisiana feel versus, you know, some of the rest of the Deep South. And then, of course, the Mississippi Delta, that's a very different region, you know, from a lot of other places. And then a lot of the South, I mean, I don't think people realize how sophisticated Huntsville is. I mean, you know, it's, you know, Rocket City, right?
It is. I mean, this is Warner Von Braun. This is the space exploration, you know, capital of the world is in Huntsville. Most people don't realize that, how kind of Huntsville is a little high-tech town. I mean, when people who've never been to Alabama, you know, it's funny because we always say Alabama's kind of, you made a perfect point there. It's cut up into parts, too. I mean, you have what we call, up in northern Alabama, we call L.A. And people's like, you're going to Los Angeles? No, we're going to L.A., lower Alabama. And that's just, you know, and in lower Alabama, those guys, I mean, they, a lot of them still talk, you know, go home with the wind type talking. You know, they talk with a southern flair and stuff like that, you know, where, you know, up in Huntsville here, gosh, this whole town's made up of engineers, rocket scientists, things like that. But I live about, I don't know, me and Benny both, he lives up in Tennessee, and I live about 30 minutes now outside of Huntsville, and it's a different, when you get out where I live, I mean, you know, we're cow farmers and chicken farmers, but you drive 20 minutes into town, and you got rocket scientists, so it's such a diverse place here, it's amazing. You know, I don't think people realize that, and that's one thing we're hoping on Deep South Paranormal we're going to bring to everybody, is to show them that diversity that's in the South, so.
Well, I'm glad because, you know, when you're just hearing the name of the show and kind of the concept of the show, and I'm not even necessarily just talking about your show, but, you know, any of the shows that kind of emphasize the you know, their southern aspect or the bayou aspect, you know, the shows, I mean, you know, they really kind of play up the, you know, the folksy down home part of it, and I'm real glad to see that you guys are being yourselves and, you know, are not succumbing to any sort of stereotype because, yeah, another thing is people just don't realize, you know, even the big cities, I mean, you know, Atlanta's a major metropolis that's just as sophisticated as, you know, anywhere in the world that just happens to be located in the South. And then, of course, you know, Florida is like a whole different country other than northern Florida, which kind of is, ironically, a part of the South. You know, the farther south and you go in Florida, the less south it is, it seems like to me. But I've actually traveled a fair amount. I know Teresa has, too, in the South. And, you know, had friends kind of really from all different walks of life. Had friends who were doctors and lawyers and whatnot. And it seems to me there's kind of two levels. And it's not just the South where that's true. It's a lot of places. But, you know, there's that sort of knowing how to play to the Southern aspect, and then there's you as an individual. And,
right.
You know, that's that applies really anywhere. You know, you're a New Yorker, you know. It's not like all New Yorkers are the same either.
Right.
So, when did you guys first know about the show, and how did the approach come for that? And have we talked to Benny yet? Benny, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Eric. John's just long-winded.
Yeah. Hey, let me tell
Benny
you right
and
now.
I were just taking a nap while you guys were talking, so.
I'm sorry. Any time you ought to say John. Little T.O. there. Time out, my man, because I will get going and I won't shut up. I'll tell you.
Hey, me too. Maybe you've gathered that already.
Benny, I'll call you on the other line. We'll have our own show going, all right?
Okay, that'll work.
Well, Benny, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your background, you know, personally, and how you got into this, and are you having fun with it, and you know, where do you see things going, just from your personal perspective?
Well, it all started back when I was over in Iraq and stuff. John, he would send me emails and stuff, but, hey, man, you know, he started another group with a buddy of his from out in Colorado called Madco Paranormal, and he's like, man, you got to get home. You got to be part of this. We need to start doing this, you know, because we'd always talked about all this different stuff that's happened to us over the years. But once I got back, that's when we started COA Paranormal, and it just took off from there. And we met up with Randy and them, and, man, it just went crazy. And the next thing you know, Sci-Fi found out about us, and here we are, Deep South Paranormal, you know.
And, Benny, you're from Tennessee?
I'm actually from, we're going to say Tennessee, Alabama, because I'm not at the state line. You can throw a rock to the state line and hit it.
And Jonathan, you're from the Huntsville area?
I am, yes, ma'am. I'm from right outside of Huntsville in the county. I'm from Madison County, so.
Well, I have family down in Arab, and I spend summer down there, and I was down there last summer, so I am very familiar with that area.
I love
and
how people see that name, and they think, Arab? They're
Arab. Arab. It's Arab.
Arab.
That's right. My aunt works at the Walmart in Arab, and I remember she'd have to go down to Huntsville. This is only one. I was just down there this summer, and my daughter went to was down in Huntsville. She went to the space camp down there because she's a genius. And I was up in Arab with my family. I mean, I got family, not just a couple people. I got a lot of family there. And we go down. I try to go down every year, but it doesn't always happen. But my mom goes down every year, and it's culture shock, and this is my family that's from Ohio but have relocated and have lived down there forever. And they meet me, and they make fun of my accent and say I talk funny, and it's quite a difference. And just getting used to it, being from Ohio, being from up north and going down there, it takes a couple days to adjust to the pace of life down there, which is just a little bit slower. And it's just it's so different, but I love it. But my goal when I went down there is to hook up with some ghost hunting groups and some paranormal investigators so I could get some ghost hunting in while I was down there. And it's just a different style down there, and I managed to do it, and it was fun, but it was completely different. But the area is so different. When I finally did meet up with this group, a couple women, we drove for like an hour and a half to get to an investigation place. And they're like, this is just what we do. We live in the middle of nowhere, and we got to go out far. And we were out at some old plantation. It was amazing, though. It was really cool. So I like the southern style of ghost hunting. It's very different than up here. Very different, but I was loving it. So
I'm so glad that you have a lead now. Now you can back us up. We've got more people asking us, not about as much the show, but people can't believe, they literally say, oh, y'all don't talk like that.
Oh, yeah.
Really, you know, and I'm like, really? I mean, this is how we talk, you know, we're not acting how we talk or something, you know, so I'm so glad that you have family here, because you know exactly, you know, the way of life and the way we talk and the way we do things down here, so that's awesome.
Oh, they make fun of me. I'm the one who talks funny when I'm down in Alabama.
Right.
I think it's hilarious. People go, my cousin has to translate because nobody understands what I'm saying. Drinking my pop.
What are you drinking?
No,
everything's soaked down here.
Hey, something that applies to, you know, to all groups when they make the big leap to television. I'm interested to hear how different it is investigating for the show versus when you're just investigating on your own. What are the differences that you notice, and are you going about things differently, or is it just more the logistics?
You want to talk about that, Ben, or you want me to talk about it?
Man, go ahead. You long with it. Go ahead.
I mean, honestly, it, I mean, there's no way you can sit here and say it's not different. I mean, you got people, you know, with you, and a lot of times it's hard to explain, but the one good thing is when the producers of the show, you know, got with us, they set us down on the very first episode before we did one thing, and they said, guys, we're going to let you do your thing. And that made us all feel better because we had never done, like I said, we work normal jobs during the week. We're not actors. We're not, you know, we know how we do our things on the weekend, but we weren't sure what the heck was going to go on when they put us all together and bring these cameras and stuff out. So was it different? It was extremely different. And but it was, as long as they let us do our thing, and it was good too, because they kind of when we get down to the real serious part of investigations and stuff, they at least for this, we kind of, you know, molded in a little bit better and stuff. It would keep me and Keith and Benny and let us do our thing, because we've worked so long and so close together. I mean, me and Benny can tell what each other's thinking. I can look at him and he can look at me, and we know exactly what we're going to say. We don't have to talk, you know. But the only difference is now you got a camera that's stuck in your face, and you just have to almost tune that out and don't lose focus of what your goal is there, you know. And that's to get that evidence to find that, you know, document that evidence so you can take it to the client or, you know, find it for yourself, you know, also. But it is different, but I don't know. I think we did a phenomenal job of learning real quick how to block that camera out. And that's one thing you can't, if you stare at the camera, you know, if you think about that camera, I mean, me personally, I'd be going, you know, suck my gun in, stand up straight. You know, you're going to lose focus of what you're doing there. So we had to, you know, I think we all really did a good job of just blocking it out, you know, and I think we all have such a passion too. And even when the cameras was off, when the producers are walking around, you know, trying to think of, okay, what are we going to do next, this and that, all of us guys, we're off investigating. We're like, you know, we'll yell at the producers, hey, how long we got till y'all got to do something else? Y'all got an hour and a half. We're going up here and we're going investigating, you know, and we'll go on our own and do our own things too. So, you know, I really appreciate the production company and Sci-Fi and letting us at least do our own thing, you know. And it's a production company. They're going to edit out a lot of stuff that didn't make the show. I mean, you could have a – I'm seeing right now, and Benny can contest this. You'd have a blooper show if you just – we always say they should have GoPros on us at all times, because some of the funniest crap happens when they're not filming us. And we could honestly have a blooper show in ourselves if they would just let us – you know, film us at all times and stuff. But it's been a small challenge. But I think honestly, I think the episodes are going to get better each time. I think people will stick with us and stay watching them, because that first one, which I thought was a great show. I think we were all proud of it. It's something for us, you know, we can all be proud of. But on the flip side, that was the first time any of us have ever been on TV. I mean, we have never been on TV before, so I think we're going to get more comfortable, and I think the shows are just going to get stronger as the season goes. So,
are you guys going to be going to any locations outside of Alabama for this season?
Oh yeah, they're all over. You guys are touring the South, it appears.
Yeah, we started in you know, the one last week was in Alexandria, Louisiana. And this next week we're going to Jackson, Mississippi. Phenomenal show tomorrow. It was one of me and Beanie was talking today actually on the phone, and it's one of our favorite ones that we filmed. Some hilarious things happened that they caught on tape, and it's gonna be funny. But also, when we actually got to investigating, we're doing this same thing built on top of an Indian burial ground called Mount Sullivan, and you can see it from. You can see it from 5 miles away driving up to it. I mean, you're like, okay, that's got to be it, because it's all farmland and stuff, and you see this monster house they've redone on top of this Indian burial ground. And then we actually head from there and go to Nittayuma, to the birthplace of the home of Henry Vick, which Vicksburg, Mississippi is named after. So phenomenal show tomorrow night. But, yeah, we end up going to Selma, Alabama, Prattville, Alabama, Jacksonville, Florida, and back down to Houma, Louisiana, for our final episode. So yeah, we've been touring the South, man. It's been great.
What about coming up north? Is there any plans of that? Are you going to save that for next season, if possible? Because I think that would be an interesting show to see see you guys in kind of an R environment and just see what the differences are. Even teaming up with a northern team, that would be funny, just because the personalities would be so different and the styles. I mean, you got to admit, your styles are so different. You know, you've got different team members, and what does he call it? What is the raison?
The Grigory stick?
Frisson.
Yes. Yeah. When he gets the shivers or the chills.
That's the French influence.
That's hilarious, though. Can you imagine that? I mean, I would love to see that coming up with some of our, because what we have up here, our northern investigators, and I'm not stereotyping all of them, but if you've been on a number of investigations, it almost seems like everybody read the same book and we're reading off the same script when you do an investigation, asking the same questions and EVPs, doing things in the same order, in the same style. It gets quite repetitive, and they kind of lose themselves. I don't know, maybe they're trying to emulate somebody they see on TV, but it's very different, which is why your show is so appealing, because you can actually see your personalities. So I would love to see some of that southern influence in a northern location. I think that would be a brilliant show.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, I've thought the same thing. You know, when we got done, we did the initial six episodes for the first season, and, you know, we were really pleased with the viewers last week and the ratings that we got. So we're hoping this is going to be strong for us and lead us into the second season. I would love to go up. I think that would, like you said, I think that would be so hilarious. I mean, can you imagine somebody from, you know, far up north when Hart looks at him and says, Oh, my Grigory stick, and I got the. He's gonna be like, "What in the hell are you talking about?" You know, that would be hilarious. Even when you go kind of north towards Pennsylvania, go to Gettysburg. I mean, in some of the northern places up there, the more famous place. I mean, how would the Spears react to a bunch of Southerners coming up there, like you saying? I mean, that would be with our accents and our different techniques and styles.
That is a great point. I was just sitting thinking about exactly that, I wanted to ask you, when you guys get, you know, EVPs or when you hear voices, I mean, do they have accents? I mean, and I don't mean that you have an accent versus someone else doesn't. I'm just thinking, you know, in general, are ghosts, our spirits, do they speak in, you know, the voice of that region? I mean, is that something you've noticed?
Go ahead, Beanie. I know you now. Take this one, brother.
I have not noticed that, but I have had incidents where they have mimicked us, you know, mimicked our voice and stuff. But I really haven't paid no attention. Now that you brought it up, now, see, you started something. Every time I get an EVP, I'm going to look and listen and see if they got an accent with them.
Because it only makes sense, right? I mean, if they're somehow tied to that region, then you would think that they would, you know, most likely anyway, speak.
I would have to say, me personally, I mean, I have experienced that, you know, and in the sense of, I mean, it's weird when you're in a, you know, we were at the Stanley Hotel out in Colorado, and we were sleeping, I mean, we were in at the room where the nanny's quarters was, and we got an EVP clear as day, and it's an African-American woman, and, you know, in the nannies back in that time frame of when the place was built, you know, were I think they were all African-American at the time, you know, just because of the sign of the times and stuff. And, I mean, it's obviously an African-American woman speaking. I mean, it's no doubt about it. I mean, just with the accent and with the slang. And she clearly says, you know, what you two doing up in here? Just like that. You know, what you two doing up in here? Just like that. So, I mean, it's no mistaking. It's not, you know, that's a female. No, that is an African-American woman plain as day. So, you know, I think they can. I think they do. You know, because if you have a soul if you have a ghost that's haunting a particular, you know, building, say down in the South, and I don't know, just my theory, I would think that they would speak in the same, you know, voice that they had when they were living, you know, as an intelligent, if it's an intelligent haunt, I don't see why they wouldn't have the same voice. So I think often we just don't have a voice to compare that to, you know, if we ask we ask a question and we get a response, we don't know what that person sounded like when they're living, so it's kind of hard to make the comparison. But as a generalization, you know, I don't know. I think maybe we hear EVPs in the South and they don't sound Southern to us because we don't.
You're in the South. Well, that's exactly. Yeah, you don't hear an accent when it's similar to you. It doesn't sound like an accent. You know, that's just the way you talk. So, I mean, it would only make sense, of course. It's interesting. Well, that kind of leads me to, I'm very interested to hear what both of your kind of general paranormal philosophies are. In other words, you know, what are these things? I assume at this point you both are more or less convinced that there's something out there, and something is creating these various evidence that's collected and the personal experiences and so on and so forth. I certainly don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm assuming the fact that you guys do what you do, you have some feeling that these things are out there. So just for you guys personally, what are they? What do they represent? What do they mean to you? What do you think they are?
I mean, me personally, I mean, that's the main reason. I love hearing people's stories on why they get into paranormal investigating, because everybody has a different story. Everybody has a different reason why they get into this. And, you know, and I grew up in a house that was basically haunted, and you get told your whole life that oh, you know, that's nothing, go back to bed. You didn't see that. And you watch a lot of TV and you read a lot of books as you grow older, and you get to a certain point in your life and you're like, you know, I can either sit here. Benny calls them, what do you call them, Benny? A paranormal couch potato? Yeah, paranormal potato. Meaning,
well, I am that's for sure. You just pegged me.
There's nothing wrong with that, but the thing is, you're going to sit there and you can either believe what you see on TV, or you can either say, I don't know if it's true or not. You know, do I believe what's on TV? Do I believe what I'm reading in this book? Or you can go find out for yourself. And that's exactly how I started. Was I was like, I got to go find out. I can't just sit here and wonder for the rest of my life, is this real or not? So that's what started me on it. And it didn't take long for me to realize that ghosts are real. I mean, there's no question about it. It's not a quest to find, you know, the answer, are they real or not. I mean, to me, that's a black and white question. I mean, there is no gray area in there. Yes, ghosts exist. Now, I think one of the things that drives the paranormal community so strong is, why do they exist? And will we ever know that? I don't know. I don't think we'll ever know that. And I think that's one reason why the paranormal is so strong and why so many people are interested in it. It's an answer that we'll never know unless we die ourselves and come back or something, maybe. But there's no way to know why ghosts exist. Now, me, I think, you know, when you have a, I think that's why the South is so rich in a lot of paranormal activity, because we have such a history with such strong Southern ties of family and religion and a lot of things happen, like the Civil War, you know, that happened in this area. A lot of history that's not all good, and some's bad, and so I think that leaves an imprint on time a lot of times. And I think a lot of times you have residual haunts and because it imprints time. And then on the flip side, you have intelligent haunts it's easy to explain why, if somebody dies tragically, you know, I think it's a burst of energy and it imprints time, and for some reason that spirit is there. And I don't know, we're still trying to figure out, you know, you have those questions. Why does the spirit not go on? You know, are they confused? Do they know they're dead? These are all questions. I don't know. I've been doing this for about 7 years now, and do I have the answers? I don't have the answers. But it sure is a hell of a lot of fun trying to figure out some of these things and try to, you know, we do cases at the end, and we write down our results and we talk about them and we try to figure out answers. But to me, that's the draw. That's so much. There is no answer. There is no definite answer to it, and that's such an awesome, awesome thing. So,
hey Benny, let me ask you a question on that same topic. Now, you said earlier that you were over in Iraq.
We was over on the border there in Kuwait and Iraq.
Okay, and now when you were over there, and first of all, thank you for your service. My son is in the Navy, so we appreciate your service, National Guard, Army, Navy, whatever you've done, we appreciate it. But being over in a place like that where there's a lot of death and there's a war going on and a lot of things happening is very different, very far away from home. I think that the paranormal is different with different cultures. Did you ever experience anything being that close to death or being that close to something so tragic, and we're talking about tragedy causing ghosts or paranormal, did you notice anything happening over there when you were deployed, any paranormal experiences?
Well, that question's been asked numerous times to me, but I answer it the same way every time. While I was there, my mind was elsewhere, and if it was anything that happened, I was not aware of it, because, I mean, you're constantly working, your bottom's side off, I mean, you're going, you're running missions, and stuff like that don't go through your head, and, I mean, I was just, evidently I was too busy to recognize anything, but nothing stood out. We did have one of our soldiers that got killed over there, and it touched all of us, but as far as anything paranormal, I never did see anything over there.
Well, that's really interesting. It makes me wonder, you know, that if these spirits are hanging out because of a tragic death or a sudden death, what happens in these places, and not just Iraq, even anywhere where there was a war, just even like our national battlefields here, Gettysburg, any place like that. You know, if there are spirits and ghosts there, it makes me wonder what's happening over there. You know, I asked my son the same thing, and, you know, he said he's basically the same thing. I was too busy to notice anything. I was working, so.
Exactly.
Well, it only makes sense. You know, even here, you know, when you're not in a stress situation, you can shut this out, I think. And I think that's what most people do. I think most people are afraid. The appearance of the paranormal conflicts with their basic structure of the way the world is supposed to go. It conflicts with the scientific view, and it kind of, depending on who you are, conflicts with the religious view. You know, depending. And so I think that gives people, especially as they get older, as they become adults, we can tune this stuff out. You know, I think for sure I did, because I sure had a lot more, you know, strange experiences and things that I could not explain when I was, you know, all the way up into my later teens. And then you kind of get to a certain point somewhere in my, I suppose, early 20s, where I just kind of learned to tune this stuff out, because then it really did just kind of stop until I got interested in it, you know, a lot later, you know, many, 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 many years later, that I kind of reopened myself. And part of it was fear, and part of it was just not wanting to be distracted. So, you know, you can imagine when you're in that kind of a stressful situation, when you're a soldier and you're in life and death situations, plus you're busy, plus you're tired, that you just may not notice.
And I think Eric, that's the exact reason also why so many kids are more susceptible to see things, and you know, a lot of people say, oh, they're innocent, you know, but I think they just haven't, I don't know at what point, like you said, you start learning to tune this stuff out, you know, but it's amazing how we always call it being in tune. Because once you start, the more you investigate and the more you open yourself up to the paranormal world and go out and do investigations, you become more in tune. And it's amazing how many times you'll see possible something paranormal happen, you know, even at work. Something happens and you'll catch something, it'll catch your eye, and you look around and anybody else see that, and nobody else sees anything. And I don't know if it's just because you become more in tune to it, you know, the more that you do investigations or I don't know. So, I think that's why with children, though, especially, I don't think they've learned to block that out. And they don't really understand that it's almost a taboo subject now, you know. It's almost something that doesn't get talked about, that, you know, that it goes against religion or stuff like you were just saying.
Why do you think your family was so adamant about denying the fact that you lived in a haunted house when you were a kid?
No, and they once I got older, they started accepting it, especially my mom. My mom she, you know, when I got older, she talked to me more about it and kind of said, you know, no, I've seen the same things and stuff. And my dad always was like, you know, oh, that's nothing. That's nothing. And then I'll never forget, I was probably 12 years old, 13 years old. I was sitting on the couch, and Dad was laying on the floor watching TV, and he spins around real quick, and he looks at us, and he's like, did y'all see that? We're like, what are you talking about? He goes, I swear, something just went right across there. We're like, ah, you know, it was a big joke. We're like, see, we told you right there. That's why. That's what we've been seeing. I think mainly it's just to protect. I think they're thinking they're, you know, as parents think they protect their kids because of all the scary movies and scary stories and stuff. I think they, you know, they don't want to tell their kids, you know, yes, you are seeing something. I think maybe it's just a protection thing to you know, maybe till they get older and they can understand it better. That's kind of, you know, that's kind of how I always took it. That's how I feel why my parents did that. I mean, it wasn't trying to hide something, or to, at least my mom for sure. You know, it was more just to, you know, to wait till I'm old enough where I really understand, so I don't, you know, get scared from stories and things like that. So.
Have either one of you ever experienced anything dangerous or hurtful since you've been doing paranormal investigation? And Jonathan, you can answer first, and then Benny, if you have anything to say, or even better, anything happened while you were filming the show? Anybody get hurt? Anything dangerous happen?
Well, paranormal wise,
paranormal.
Yeah, paranormal wise, I don't. While we're filming the show, we had one incident. That where one of our investigators, Keith, we were down in Old Cahaba outside of Selma, Alabama, and probably the only time that something really got where it really scared me was to the point where, you know, I'm like, wow, this could have got really serious, was we found actually at the slave quarters of an old plantation house, we found a chain that was actually grown into the tree. So it had been there a long time, and the chain was in the tree. It was the weirdest looking thing, and Keith's got this big beard. He looks like this big ZZ Top rocker, but he really is kind of our sensitive guy. He has a lot more feelings than a lot of us, and he just had a feeling he wanted to stay there by himself. So, you know, hey, he's a grown man. If he wants to do it, that's what he wants to do. So we let him stay there by himself, and he proceeded to put the chain kind of around his neck to not out of disrespect at all, and not provoking or anything like that, but mainly just to, you know, put it around his neck to ask questions. He was being very respectful and stuff. And me and Benny kind of take off down the road to pursue some other spirits, some other legends that we had heard about. And we get this call over the radio where he's just freaking out and he's losing his breath and he's saying something's on him. He can't breathe. But me and Benny take off running, and time we get over there, I mean, that boy was just about. He was just about. His knees were getting weak. He was losing ground. And what scared me was, I don't think we didn't really realize till after we got him out, got him over, got him some water. Hey, I'm feeling better. If he would have fell, that chain could have been right around his neck. So that was stupid, you know, for him to do. So it wasn't. Was it? I mean, something paranormal possibly. It affected him some way that you know, the situation he was in. Yes, that could have got dangerous. You know, me personally, I was actually the only place I've ever experienced anything probably really just kind of beyond that next level of you know, because I always say if a person was a bastard in life, they're probably gonna be a bastard in death if they're a ghost. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's ghosts up there. It's just kind of, you know, they're just kind of mean. You know, I don't think they're evil and they're not demons. They're just mean, mischievous ghosts. And but we actually, me and a friend of mine went up to Ashmore Estates up in Illinois. And that was probably the only place I've actually ever been, of all the places I've been across this U.S., that there was something else in there. And it followed us home, at least to the point of probably, we got done investigating that night about 4 in the morning. Me and my friend, we didn't say anything to each other the entire ride to the hotel. We get out of the hotel, we go in there, we go to sleep. We didn't talk the whole night. We get up the next day, we both feel kind of not feeling good. We like, yeah, let's go on home. We actually came on home, and probably, I actually have it documented on my phone, on my recorder. I was out walking one day, and I actually recorded because I was like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just don't feel right. And something actually probably held on to us for probably a month, I would say at least, where you had bad dreams, you couldn't sleep. You'd almost, every time you closed your eyes, almost, it seemed like you'd visualize that place, and you could visualize something was in it, and it was, I'm kind of glad that we experienced that, because we had always said, and me and Benny, all of us always say, you know, we don't, when it crosses that line into something possibly demonic, I don't want anything to do with it. That's not my, that's not my thing. We're not here to mess with anything like that, you know, and when that happened, I'm kind of glad it did, because now I know that feeling, and it's a feeling you can't really explain, but now I know when I walk into a place, if I get that sickening feeling, if I get that feeling that I had that night, and it's just a feeling, you know, then I'll know from now on, you know, hey, I don't want anything to do with this place. So it was a learning experience, and it worked out. Actually, it was kind of weird. I was actually at work the next week and had a lady that I work with, she's pretty religious, and actually stopped me in the supply room and said, "You okay?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" She goes, "I had dark circles under my eyes. It was really pretty rough." And she was like, you just aren't yourself." And I was like, "Yeah." It's like, "I'm feeling okay. I'm just not sleeping good." And she actually said, "Can I pray with you right now?" You know, and I was like, "Well, sure. I'm taking any prayer, you know, that you want to give me." But she actually put her hand on me and prayed for me right there in the supply closet at work, because it was, I mean, it actually had
She was worried about you. Wow. Well, you know what? That I was just thinking, Teresa. What did that story remind you of? What did we just hear? We were interviewing Aaron Goodwin of Ghost Adventures last week, and boy, at the beginning of the show, he was clearly not himself, and it took a while, you know, for him to kind of come out of his shell and start talking to us, and then finally. You know, he told us what had been bothering him, and he had, I don't know if you saw that episode, but when they were, when the crew was down in New Orleans, they did that voodoo ritual, and he said, I mean, that hung over him for 3 or 4 months, and he didn't feel like himself. And he said, interestingly, he said the exact words that you just said, he said, "I'm kind of glad I went through that." And, you know, you would think with someone who's done as many investigations for as long a period of time now as he has, you know, that he would know to avoid things like that, or he would be able to see it coming, I suppose, is more what it is. But he said it just really caught him off guard, and it just lingered. And, you know, he said it was good. It was a growth experience, you know, that which doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And he learned from it. But it was really tough. And he said he was kind of realizing as he was talking that he said, you know, I actually have not done an interview since that happened. And I'm realizing that it took me quite a while, you know, in talking to you guys to come out of that or come out of that mindset. And he said, you know, I'm mostly better now. But even now, and I guess it's, you know, it's been months, that he still has, you know, some lingering darkness is what he called it from this that started with this voodoo ritual.
That's exactly. I mean, that's it. I mean, I remember talking to Benny when I got back. I went with another buddy of mine, and I remember we got back. We were talking about some investigations, and Aaron told him, I was like, "I'm just going to take a break for a little bit. I just didn't feel like doing it. I was like, something's not right." But like I said, I mean, I don't think it happens. I don't, you know, everybody automatically wants to think if something slings something across the room or you hear a voice and it's real deep, they automatically say, "Oh, it's a demon, it's a demon." I don't think demonic, I don't think that happens as many times as people, you know, they want to jump to conclusions with that, because there's a big difference now. I know there's a big difference now between an actual demonic type haunting and something that's just, you know, a mean spirit possibly. So,
but do you guys do any sort of protection? Do you have any sort of rituals or medallions, or do you pray? Do you do anything to protect yourself before or during an investigation, or even afterwards? Like you said, when you had this lingering sensation that was bringing you down. I mean, I've had that happen a couple times, and it took a while to shake it, but I had to go through a process to actually rid myself of that. Do you guys do any sort of protection rituals or anything you do to kind of keep yourself grounded before you do an investigation?
Go ahead, Ben.
Well, I know we'd talked about it before about doing prayers and stuff, and I told John, I said, man, we got a place coming up that, you know, I'm not feeling too good about. I said, we need to start all of us getting crosses and start wearing them and stuff. And he's like, dude, I've had mine in my pocket the whole time. So, but, yeah, we all have our crosses. And Keith, unfortunately, he has a big cross, and he tries to get through security that they think it's a dagger. And
When you look back, and every time this big bearded guy with a white beater on is being stopped and they're pulling something that looks like a dagger out of security, that's never a good sign.
No.
That's several strikes against you, you know?
he's always interested when we have to go through security. One day we had had him singing Joe Cocker in the middle of the airport. I don't know what that was all about. But yeah, I mean, we do all kinds of things to try to keep ourselves protected. One of the funny things that me and John do whenever we leave somewhere, we always will stop on the side road right before we get out of the parking lot, and we say, all right, you know, y'all can't go with us. Get out. Stay here. You ain't welcome to go home with us. And so far it's worked, whether or not it actually works, but it's always helped us as far as the mind game. And I've never had nothing come home with.
Yeah, we physically stop and open the doors and say, all right, y'all get on out now. Sorry, we've had a good time. You got to stay here and stuff. But and it's funny because we all have our own, kind of all have our own ritual too. I all have our own thing that we do before we investigate. In the sense of Benny has to put his iPod in and he has to crank up some rocking music and he has to get in his mind frame that way, you know. And I usually go off and kind of, you know, think to myself and clear my mind and say a little prayer before we go, you know, and ask for protection and all that good stuff. So we do kind of have our own individual, you know, things that we do to kind of help prepare ourselves, prepare our mind, get ourselves in the right mind frame and stuff.
Very interesting. So, Teresa, the answer is yes.
Excellent. I just, because I mean, I've learned over the years that I really have to, and whether it really works or if it's just in my head, whatever, I find that when I don't go through my ritual, things just don't seem to be right. Things go wrong. I don't feel right. I don't have a good investigation. So I'm used to my little ritual that I do before, during, and after. So I just thought I was feeling weird.
You guys both were saying, I'm sorry, you were both saying, you know, I don't know if it's only in my head, but just because it's in your head doesn't mean it's not real.
Exactly. If it gives you the confidence, whether it's real or whether it's working or not, protect you, it makes you think it's protecting you, and for that matter, it's working. Then, you know, so
exactly. You know, it's is a placebo effect not real? Well, sure, it's real. You know, I mean, just because the cause and effect chain isn't, you know, scientifically reproducible doesn't mean it's not real. Hey, another thing you guys do that I think is super cool and I'm looking forward to seeing more of is this use of music. So I wanted to hear kind of what you think about that and what you've learned from that, and how do you think music interacts, or how is it just, you know, different from other forms of communication?
I mean, we've kind of always looked at it kind of in a twofold. You got the scientific side of it, where actually playing the guitar and strumming the strings is sending out vibrations. It's sending out vibrations through the air and you know, possibly can that attract? I mean, we don't know. I mean, it's worked for us, but we don't know if it's because of that. Is it because of the scientific side, or is it just intelligent spirit? That one of the first times we've used it and it worked just phenomenal was we was actually up in a hospital up in Lincoln County, Tennessee, abandoned hospital up there, and we got Keith to sit down and start playing just fun music, just, you know, easy music. While me and Benny, we took off down the halls. And we were inviting people to come out, you know, hey, you're not sick anymore. You come out and listen to music, sing music with us, you know, sing some songs with us. And we're having a good time and stuff. And it was unbelievable, the cold blast that we got, the K2 spikes we got. I mean, you couldn't really, you know, the one bad thing about it, it kind of kills an EVP because all you hear is singing and the music. But at least I think we documented that night for the first time we ever tried it. Wow. This works. This isn't something goofy, you know. This actually works. So So we just kind of took off from there and used it in a lot of our investigations. And honestly, it hasn't failed us. And even to the fact of even without a guitar, you know, we go to we go down to the Alisti Battlefield down in Florida, down in Jacksonville. It's the site of the largest Civil War battle in Florida. And, you know, again, we break out songs of that time. We want to sing, you know, songs that they would sing in the Civil War camps and Civil War type songs and stuff just to see. And again, it gets responses. So, you know, with Keith, with his musical ability, you know, and mine and Benny's warped minds, that we can use it, you know, and try to rack that, use that talent to our good. You know, we've actually broke into something, I hope. You know, I don't mind if other people use, because I think it's a very effective tool that kind of is outside the box of what most people do.
Very cool. I think you're right. And, it does make sense logically and scientifically, just like you said. And, you know, so there's the energy side of it, the acoustical side of it, but then there's the emotional side of it too, because, of course, as they say, music sounds the way emotions feel.
I have a question from the chat room, if Benny and Jonathan would be interested in taking a couple questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
Paranormal 15 would like to know, from the first show, she knows you've been they know you've been touched by spirits, but have any of the guys ever been attacked severely? I know we kind of covered this a little bit, but I said I would ask the question. So any severe attacks, whether paranormal during the show or just over the course of their career, I guess.
Yeah.
Pinch, slap, push. And it's Sandy. Yeah. Sandy asked that question. Sorry. Thanks, Sandy. Sorry.
Yeah, thanks, Sandy. Yeah, thanks, Sandy, for the question. Yeah, I mean, me personally, I mean, no, I've never been. I've been touched. I've been grabbed. My hand's been grabbed before. Maybe felt a slight, you know, wow, something. I think something just poked me or something. But as far as a violent attack, I've never been violently attacked. I think what I was telling the story a little bit ago about Keith, you know, that wouldn't have bad if he hadn't had a chain around his neck. You know, he just started feeling weak. You know, that,
oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. What about you, Benny? I don't think we have what we've investigated together. So,
well, first of all, I want to say, Sandy, thanks. Watch the show tomorrow. Love you. But as far as me, I've only had one incident where unexplained, where we was at an old hospital, and I come out and I thought I had dirt all over my calf, and I don't know what it was, and it was actually a bruise. I don't know how I got it. Didn't quit. It's very noticeable. But that's the only thing that's ever happened to me. But my wife, she was investigating with us with our local group, and she has been scratched. She has been called a bitch. She has been
not by you. We're talking about from ghosts, Benny, not from you.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. whoa. No, but she's what I like to call a ghost magnet, and she has a lot of stuff happen to her. But as far as the rest goes, I don't think anybody's really had anything serious happen to them.
Well, that's good. I hope it stays that way, because...
Exactly.
You know,
that's a good thing.
Your protections are working, right?
Exactly.
Wow. The time, it's amazing. We have shot through another hour again just telling stories. How much fun talking to you guys. And I really, really am glad. I'm so happy that you've, you know, had this success already and that you got to do the show. And, you know, certainly from the first episode, I realize we're just at the very beginning here. But from the first episode, I can really see that it's going to be good. And it really does combine, as I was trying to say anyway at the beginning of the show, you know, really good, serious, investigative techniques and evidence. And I love, like I said, the use of music. I think that's really clever and interesting, and something that is well worth pursuing, you know, kind of as far as it goes. But then on the other hand, you guys are a lot of fun, and you have a lot of personality, and you obviously like each other and get along really well. And, you know, you have a variety of personalities within the group, certainly not just all one kind. And the show seems to be quite well put together, you know, well produced and well edited. So we wish you nothing but the best and hope it really does take off. And then we can have Teresa's dream of you guys being up here. Maybe have you go all the way north, you know, and investigate with Inuits.
No,
you know, just go all the way. If you're going to go north, go all the way.
Hey, that sounds like a plan. See,
it's funny you say that because the company I work for is owned by Inupiat Eskimos out in Barrow, Alaska, which is about as far north as you can go in the American.
hilarious. See, I'm vibing. I am picking up. I'm picking up on the vibe. Well, you got your connection there. That is so cool. That is so funny.
Teresa, you better look us up next time you're in ARAV. If you want us to take you, we will take you out to that hospital where we've had all that stuff happening, and we'll take you up to Lincoln County, Tennessee, and take you to that abandoned hospital up there, and we'll show you a good time up there. So.
Well, I'll probably be coming down again this summer. So if not this summer, sometime soon, because, you know, there's not a whole lot to do in ARAB. That's why I was looking for some paranormal investigating. Oh, I would love to. That would be awesome. I love it down there. It's very relaxing. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's so different than up here. And I will definitely take you up on that. Hey, what can we see tomorrow night? What's coming up? What should we be looking for tomorrow night when everyone's tuning into the show? Give us a little preview.
Give us a tidbit, a nugget
to hang on to.
Okay, you're going to have, let's see, we get a four-wheel drive stuck in the mud. Well, we don't get it stuck in the mud. It actually goes dead on us in the mud. Somebody falls out of the truck. Let's see, you got people in rowboats going down the river trying to get ghosts out following a funeral procession. You're going to have a poltergeist activity of things being thrown. You're going to have people being touched tomorrow. Two beautiful... beautiful plantation houses we're going to visit, and actually even one of them, they actually have a play that goes on every month, talking about the love story that happened there, and we actually bring in the actors of that play to do the play up in the attic while we investigate the house, and we get a couple of phenomenal pieces of evidence.
All that in an hour?
In one episode.
Well, I say all that with a little asterisk of we haven't seen the episode either. So I hope they show all that.
And of course, it took more than an hour to gather all of that footage, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I can tell you this much. This story, when they sent us the storyline for the show, it hooked me right off the beginning. This has got a good storyline behind it between the female that lived at the place and the gentleman that she was in love with. It's an awesome storyline, and I think she'll be great.
Fantastic. Well, like you said early on, you know, part of the appeal of the show, of course, is this very rich Southern tradition. You know, you get all the cliches that come in Southern literature, you know, and it's very kind of a gothic sort of thing. But, you know, the spirits... just rich in the loam of the soil. But, I mean, it's true. It's a combination of the natural, you know, the natural environment. It is kind of thick. It is humid. It is typically warm, though certainly not always.
Hot, humid.
Yes, hot and humid. And that seems to kind of carry over to human relations, too, you know. And from there to the spirit world.
Yeah. We want to thank you guys for having us on tonight. I mean, gosh, I wish we could sit here and talk for two more hours. I mean, I could sit and I know me and B, we sit and talk about this stuff with each other. And gosh, we talk to each other every day. We can sit and talk an hour about this stuff. So it's so awesome to talk to, you know, other people like yourself that's out investigating and exploring the paranormal world and stuff. So we want to thank you for having us on tonight. So it's been a big pleasure.
Our pleasure. And we'd love to have you back on after we've been able to, you know, see some more of the episodes. And it's always a little bit more difficult. But, I mean, it's interesting in different ways. But it's always a little more difficult you know, to talk about to people when the show is so new. I'm glad we were able to see one episode, because we've done them before where we were kind of previewing, you know, a whole series, and it's not, it doesn't detract from how interesting the individuals are and their lives, you know, leading up to the shows and whatnot. But it'll be a lot of fun to see how the show unfolds. And then, of course, we'll be able to talk about that, too. So, we'd love to have you back on down the line.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You name it, it'll be an honor.
We would definitely love to come back.
We're practically related. I mean, you've got to come back on.
If you're from Arab, I have family that live in Arab. So we are probably third cousins removed by my aunt's cousin.
At least.
And, you know, in the South, that's close.
That's right.
Now, I had to toss out a cliche. You know, we've been avoiding cliches all the whole hour. No, I'm just joking, obviously. All right. Well, thank you so much, Jonathan and Benny. And, of course, the show is Deep South Paranormal. It's on Sci-Fi Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, 9 Central. Very much encourage everyone out there to check out the show. First episode was really cool, and it sounds like there's going to be just an endless string of madness in subsequent episodes. So thanks, guys. Have a great evening, and have a great week, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Hey,
thanks, guys.
Thank you guys so much.
All right. Teresa, great job as always. Always fun to chat. I'm sure glad we got to have Jonathan and Benny on the show, and we will be back, as always, next Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, so be sure to join us. Also, check us out on Facebook at AM Haunted and Twitter, AM Haunted, and we always have all kinds of interesting things going on, and as we mentioned from time to time, we are right smack dab in the middle of writing our book, America's Most Haunted, and we're plugging away. We're into the stressful time because we're supposed to be finishing up here pretty soon, but I think we're making really good progress, and I think what we've done so far is really good quality. We just have to kind of keep plugging away and make it happen.
Thanks, guys, for coming on. I'll hit you up on Facebook so, you know, we can talk family stuff, and we'll be watching the show tomorrow, and we'll have you back on again. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night, and talk to you next week.
Farewell.